I know it's been so long since we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, but I want to do just that. I want to get back into finishing up Galatians chapter 5. There's probably 3 weeks, including this Sunday, of the fruit of the Spirit, and then we'll get into chapter 6 of Galatians. I think people are anxious and large to get back to some sense of normalcy, and so that includes sermons for the time being. Galatians chapter 5. Father, I thank you for your word. It's living, it's active. Speak to us in this place, in this moment. Those that are inside, Father, bless them with understanding. Those in their cars, those in their chairs, in the lawns, Father, bless them with a revelation of you and your Holy Scripture. We just thank you, Father, that we have your word, that no matter what edicts and decrees and laws are passed, we can come back to your word and read truth, the absolute truth that can guide us in our walk to pursue and know you more. Father, I thank you that you are not absent, that you are not dead, that your word is living. It speaks to us. We ask as we open up our Bibles physically that you open up and reveal yourself to us this morning. Help us to understand what it is, this fruit of the Spirit, and how we can walk in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, by way of short refresher and just the context, we've been looking at the works of the flesh, and then many months ago, and we've been going one by one through the fruit of the Spirit. Let's start in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. So that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We pick up this morning, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, or faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. The next word for us this morning is patience. I will define patience as when you endure difficult situations and people without losing your poise or your composure. The Greek word is makrothumia. Why is it that we should bother writing and mailing a letter when you can just send an email? Why would you even visit someone when you can just FaceTime them or Zoom them on your phone? Why call someone when you can just send a text message? It's been said that we are a microwave generation. Instant feedback, instant response, instant results. Stick a bag of kernels in the microwave, and what do you get out? A bag of popcorn, pre-salted and even buttered. I remember going home from my first semester in college and using my parents' microwave again for the first time for several months. I'm convinced that their microwave only had a defrost mode. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the light bulb inside used more electricity than the microwave itself. You'd stick a bag of popcorn in. It took at least 6.5, 7 minutes. I remember being relentless in my pursuit of making fun of my parents for how they have such an archaic machine. Why? Because I was used to 2 minutes at college. 2 minutes for popcorn. Now I have to wait an extra 4, 4.5. For Christmas, we received an Instapot. How many of you know what an Instapot is? Some of you? I see some hands. It's nice to see some hands. Windows down, people out of their cars. I like it. We received an Instapot. You can cook. It's a pressure cooker, if you're not familiar. You can cook a baked potato in 3 minutes. You can cook a fillet of salmon in 90 seconds. You can boil an egg just by setting it next to it on the counter. The irony is that these time-saving devices, rather than increasing our ability to wait and have more time in our day-to-day, they seem to decrease our ability to enjoy and wait at all. These time-saving devices have made us into an impatient society. I'm at a point now in my life where I'm so impatient that I don't even like going home from church between the hours of 4 and 6 o'clock because the rec center light, the stoplight at the Christiansburg Rec Center, sometimes you have to wait 2 or 3 cycles. I promised Brittany when we first moved to our townhouse behind the high school, I said, we're never moving to another house with another stoplight that I have to wait in. Sure enough, what did we do? We not only live through that same stoplight, but we're 5 miles beyond that. That's right. Pastor's complaining about a 3-minute stoplight and you have to sit through a 30-minute sermon. Turn to 1 Timothy. In fact, we're going to be in 1 and 2 Timothy both for the remainder of this morning. So if you want to get there, I'm going to try and mark them both while I'm at it, since we have a little bit of wind today. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see two different aspects of the patience of God. This is not because I'm not able to think of good man-made examples of patience, but rather when you look at God in a certain perspective, with certain spiritual eyes, I think you'll see that he is the foremost example of patience above all else. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. This is Paul speaking. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. This is the example of patience. That God would take the foremost example of a sinner, someone who would go into the temple and drag off Christians to beat them and throw them into jail, who heartily approved of Stephen's stoning. And yet Paul says that this is an example of the patience of God. It's amazing when we put it into that perspective, isn't it? God really is patient with us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 say, do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Here Peter's informing us the fact that Christ has not come, or the fact that Christ has not returned to the earth, is really a display of God's patience. Why has he not come? Because all of his chosen are not yet saved. He has long suffering and patience, and it will continue until all of the elect have been gathered into a saving relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's patience. We talked, last week I went through the story of really the Word of God from cover to cover, and mentioned Noah and how God was grieved and sorrowful that he had even made man. And here he is. God could have started all over. God didn't even have to make us to begin with. And yet for thousands of years, he's endured patiently those that have rejected him over and over again, just so that a few, let that sink in, just so a few might have everlasting life with him. The patience of God watching us struggle over and over again. How many of you have ever seen someone struggle to do something that you had a solution to do much faster or much better or in a different way, that maybe you're more experienced and you've done something before time and time again and you've watched somebody just really struggle at it? Now imagine God. Oh, how great the Father's love, that he would patiently woo and draw us into fellowship with him. Sometimes 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years of rejection and disobedience Yet he loves us and waits and watches us, gently asking us to come into fellowship with him. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, God is the best example of patience, but it's certainly true we could say that about all of the fruit. Just look at God's love and his kindness, etc. But there's something about this endurance, the tolerance of a father who's perfect and has a solution, and yet he waits for us to figure it out. Beloved, I think that we have a few things that we could learn from the Father about patience. The second display of God's patience is his patience with the world and its rebellion against him. This is described in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, if you're taking notes. It says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath in revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Do you think lightly of God's patience? You're storing up for yourselves wrath. There's a day coming when the world will be judged and punished for the sin and rejection of God the Father. Paul also speaks of it in Romans 9:22. He says, "What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" Why is it that God can allow evil and bad things to happen? Well, I think that verse actually has the answer for a lot of the problems in the world. It's that God is willing to allow some things that we claim as evil and horrible, just so that a few might come to him. God might allow certain things to happen. It's not necessarily his desire or that he wishes it to happen upon them, but with much patience, he endures those vessels that are destined for wrath and destruction. O church, the perfect and all-knowing Father has put up with a sinful and depraved world for thousands of years just so that a few of us might be saved. Shouldn't we be able to put up with a few sinners around us for a few short years that we have here on earth in order that we might bring a few of those to the light of the gospel of Christ Jesus? One more passage to consider in regards to the fruit of patience. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires." Church, there's much I'd like to say to you in regard to this phrase, teaching in accordance with personal desires. Truth is, well, to quote Jack Nicholson, I don't believe much of the church can handle the truth. I know how that sounds. It sounds like I'm arrogant that I've arrived at some upper echelon of revelation and understanding that everyone else has fallen prey to deception. Well, I'm not saying that. Rather, what I'm suggesting is there's a time and a place to disseminate uncomfortable, in-your-face, Bible-backed truth. And I don't believe that that time is right now from this parking lot. You see, there are many people of faith with varying perspectives and opinions and interpretations of very same scriptures. The difficulty, though, is when unpleasant information is presented to those that are not prepared to receive it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus says, "Don't throw your pearls before the swine." In other words, I have, and we all have, a responsibility and obligation to make sure that whatever proceeds out of our mouth is landing on fertile soil. There's a time coming when there's going to be some uncomfortable topics discussed behind this pulpit, but I want you to know that I have not been released to speak about these things for the sake of your brothers, for the sake of your sisters. Reproof and rebuke is coming, but in order for it to be effective spiritually, it has to be done in God's timeline, and for that we must all have patience. The thing is, as a pastor during this COVID-19 pandemic and seeing the church's reaction to it the last 3 months, I've experienced grief and sorrow, heartache, frustration, anger, disappointment, confusion, and utter disbelief. But in asking the Lord to direct my life, I'm slowly learning patience, grace, forgiveness, and love. One good thing that has come out of this is that I think I have sermon topics for the next 2 years when this is all over. We as a church need to be ready for his coming, and I'm afraid the global church these past 3 months has shown true colors that are not in line with God's best. But back to the text, verse 2, and where I want you to, why I brought us here this morning, says, preach the word with great patience. The King James Version says long suffering. Notice it does not say long blissfulness. Doesn't say that everything's going to be easy while you wait. Long suffering. It's not even short suffering, but long. We have to, with long suffering, endure that time. We have to be able to preach. Who are the preachers? Well, it's not just me. I'm preaching, teaching scripture, if you will. But we are all a priesthood. We're all to go into the world and preach the gospel. We need to extend, in other words, the patience of God to others by being patient with them. That's part of the salvation issue, is that to the degree we're patient with the world, we're actually revealing God's salvation to them. We're not just to be patient with our preaching, though. We're to be patient and not mock. We're supposed to be patient in all things. Patient at the grocery store, patient with their sinfulness, patient with the way they talk to us, patient with the way they treat us, patient with the rules they make about us, so that as we give to the Lord our selfish and rushed attitudes, we begin to reflect a virtue of God himself onto the world. We need to be filled with the Spirit and ask daily and moment by moment for the divine fruit of patience to be made manifest in our lives. Whatever it is that you're trying to speed along, whether it's a promotion, a retirement, a pregnancy, a degree, a child's development, I'm there. Whether you're trying to speed along this sermon, we need to understand that the world does not stop while we're waiting. There are things and people that still need our attention. Our own soul needs our attention too, as does our body. So the next time you're struggling to wait patiently, we need to try and focus our attention on something that we do actually have influence over. And you know, I'll remind you spiritually that you have influence over the world because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Jesus had influence over the world. Anyone would disagree with that? I don't think so. He influenced. In fact, the early church, they were changing the world, as we read about in Acts chapter 2. But Jesus told us that greater things we will do because he goes to the Father. So it's because the Holy Spirit living inside of you, inside of me, that we actually have not just that same influence, but in effect, collectively, we have a greater influence over the world. So we need to set the example for how we ought to react, for who can we can preach to, and in our patience. Make an effort to do something that has eternal value while you wait for whatever it is you're waiting for. I'm going to make a statement next that is first and foremost pointed at me, but I hope you can personalize it as well. I know that I'm not the most jovial person in all the world, self-admittedly, but when it comes to people lying in my face or doing something so idiotic and foolish and self-absorbed and dumb and brain-dead, I really lose my patience. But do you know what the Word of God tells me, and all of us for that matter? To the degree that I am impatient is the degree that I am not yet yielded to the Holy Spirit. I know we are all eager to get back to, we've been eager to get back to things as they were a few months ago. I myself have been certainly struggling with some of these orders to be lifted. But in light of these scriptures, it's my job to set an example to the world of patience. May we all seek to be filled and overflowing with his fruit of the Spirit. I hope you'll join me this morning in asking God the Father to produce his fruit of patience in our lives. The next fruit I want to briefly look at this morning is kindness. You can turn to Titus. It's just the next book over if you're still in 2 Timothy. Titus. Kindness is moral goodness or integrity. This is differentiated from goodness, which is a different and separate fruit of the Spirit. It is not integrity as a quality, rather it is integrity of moral goodness or action. It's goodness expressing itself in deeds. Kindness is acting out goodness. Consider the Good Samaritan. He was good, but his kindness came out of his goodness. His action spoke kindness to the man who was beaten and robbed. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Somehow, I clipped the wrong page. Bear with me a minute. Titus 3, 4 and 5. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. The kindness of God our Savior. The kindness of God our Savior was poured out for you. The kindness of God. What did God do for us? Did you catch it? See, I said kindness is goodness acting out. It's an action. It requires us to do something. See, God saved us. That's His kindness. He saved us from eternal separation and damnation in hell. Romans 2, 4, we already read earlier, says, do you think lightly of the riches of the kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Romans 11, 22, behold the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, also you will be cut off. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So this word kindness is particularly used of God's kindness in offering or providing salvation through Christ Jesus. So here's the nugget, if you will, if we could just kind of wrap up this fruit of kindness. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in believers, which is really for them to intimate God's free gift of salvation through Christ Jesus. So to the degree that you're being kind to the world, you're actually revealing the salvation of Christ Jesus to them. In other words, kindness is putting into action deeds that make the not yet saved saved. One last verse. This ought to really be memorized by all of us if it has not yet already. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Church, I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you can do for someone this week to reveal the moral goodness of the Father to someone who is not yet a believer? How can you put into action a kind deed that will make a person aware of God's salvation? Can we do that? And then I want to ask you, can we do that every week? Can we do that every day? And can we do that every moment until He should return? This is what the calling and part of us as believers should be, revealing God's goodness, revealing God's kindness, revealing God's patience and love and joy and peace to a world that is broken and lost and confused. So many people don't know how to act and be in this day and age, especially with the things going on around them. But we all as believers, with the hope that lies within, have an opportunity to share and reveal Jesus Christ to them by the Holy Spirit producing fruit in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You help us to become more like Him. We ask that you would fill us with patience, patience to our leaders, patience to our brothers and sisters here, patience to our family members, patience to our spouses, our children. That you'd help us to have patience to the world we don't know, the interactions we have at the stores, driving down the road. Father, I pray that we would also be filled with your kindness, that ultimately we would reveal your goodness to the world, that they may see that they have salvation in Christ Jesus. Lord, as we leave from here, I pray that we would be so full of the Holy Spirit that people would recognize that something is different on our lives, that we would begin to change the world because you are producing your fruit in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.